do it.
Live from the Jack Eichel Excuse Factory.
Oh,
it's Shenanigans.
Trade me right fucking now.
This week it's Rich.
Hey.
Vinny.
Hey.
Walden. Alan.
Good evening.
And I am Craig. Yeah, today they had the thing about Jack Eichel.
Yeah, yeah. So it was a 24-minute media conference where he basically bitched about how the team was handling his injury and essentially saying he wanted out was the way I...
And he kind of made reference to Sam Reinhart wanting out.
Sam's an RFA, so one of the media members had asked what he would think about future changes coming up with the players that are unrestricted and the RFAs and all that. So, yeah, I mean, it's obviously a mess, just a huge mess.
The organization is a mess, and it has been for 10 years now.
It's been a mess since...
the Regases.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, that's even back further than I was thinking, but yeah.
You guys talking about the Sabres?
Yes.
Whatever. Their only goal is to win the Stanley Cup. That's all I
right.
know.
If I wanted to make money, I'd go drill a well.
Jack Eichel, though, for all the talent he has, it seems like his greatest talent is pissing and moaning about something.
Right.
It doesn't matter how good the team's doing, he's always pissing and moaning about something.
Right.
Ralph's a great guy. I can't fucking stand him. I can't believe they got rid of him. I'm glad they got rid of him.
Right.
I don't know what happened with Ralph. Make up your fucking mind. Well, it was one sentence, dude.
Yeah, that's the other thing. He said he really likes Ralph as a person, what he said. He said as a person multiple times. So, obviously, he didn't want him to be his coach. But as a person, he's a great guy.
Eichel is a coach killer.
Clearly, yeah.
I think he's, trade him. Trade him now.
He's got to go.
Trade him now when he still has a little bit of trade.
Do it.
Cap
value.
Do it now.
Trade me right fucking now. Now hang up. That is one of the greatest clips from any movie ever.
It is.
Slapshot.
There was a Slapshot too. Did anyone actually
it had a Baldwin in it.
Did it really?
Not Billy.
Leonard?
The weird one.
William?
Steven? No,
Steven
Steven. Right.
Steven.
Yeah.
He's the weird one.
The weirder one.
Is that the one from Biodome?
Yes.
Yes.
Stephen Baldwin.
Yep. Now, I am friends with a guy who was in Biodome. The guy who played the bald scientist.
Guy who played the bald scientist. What's his name?
Kevin West.
Is he local or?
No, he stopped into our office and I'm looking at him. I go, and he caught me looking at him. He goes, yeah, I was in Biodome.
That's how he greets people. Bald scientist, Biodome.
It's literally on his card.
He's a character actor. He plays a lot of bit parts. And
interesting.
His family was originally from here, and they live out west now, and he's trying to trace the early part of his family.
I've seen this guy in other stuff.
Yeah, he's been in a ton of stuff. He's a really nice guy. He's funny.
Did he say, yes, I was in Biodome, or did he go, yes, I was in Biodome?
Kind of in between the two, more noncommittal. I think he's a really nice guy. He's funny.
This guy's been in the background of a ton of movies I've seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I recognize him. He was in commercials and stuff.
Yep,
yeah.
Exactly.
He was in Blank Man.
He was in Blank Man?
He's in stuff.
J5! I love that movie. It's the best Wayans movie ever.
No.
Blank Man.
Oh, yeah.
Blank Man, funny.
Major
Way
Pain.
Better.
Major Pain is great.
Sucka.
Major Pain
I'm
going to
get you, sucker.
By far.
Yeah.
I'm going to get you, sucker was, what was, that was a blaxploitation.
Sucker. Yeah, you said sucker.
Right.
Yeah, that's not sucker.
You have to say sucker.
Whatever. But wasn't it a blaxploitation parody?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and I have seen it.
It's have just, you?
I've seen it once. It's been a long time.
All right.
Could you say that sentence a little whiter? No, you couldn't.
I'm sorry.
Blaxploitation?
I'm sorry if it's mighty white of me, but I am white.
97%. Everybody's got 3%. Do your DNA.
I had mine done.
Hey, and what were you?
97%
white.
Human.
White.
Cotton
bed
sheet.
just ghost in a snowstorm white.
Holy cow.
We're honkies.
So he's basically like white on rice and a glass of milk and right. A paper plate in a snowstorm.
Yes.
That would be a quote for Major Payne, the greatest Wayans movie ever.
Definitely not.
I like what you said there. several years ago, we were forecast to have this huge snowstorm in Lockport, and Buffalo got quite a bit of it. We got nothing. I took a picture of a blank sheet of paper and posted it on our office's Facebook page and said, I can't even see across the street, and people thought it was real.
This Kevin West has been in a movie with Rodney Dangerfield I've never heard of called Back by Midnight.
Uh-oh.
What the fuck is that?
I have no idea. You know what? We're going to go on a Kevin West movie marathon.
Can you get him on the show?
I probably could try.
We'll become the Kevin West fan club.
Okay.
Shenana West.
Whatever gets me famous.
It'll be our brush with greatness that week.
All right. Oh, and we almost forgot before we go on, we have to talk about our sponsor for tonight's episode, Molinaro's Ristorante. A staple in historic Lockport community, we pride ourselves on serving you authentic Italian homemade dishes that our family has shared for years. Stop in and check out our large menu, fresh baked goods, and daily lunch specials. Take our delicious food home to your family and have it delivered, or come in and dine with us. Molinaro's, 90 Walnut Street in Lockport, 716-438-0631. Try MolinarosOnline.com.
And I think there's going to be a Molinaros golf tournament this year in place of the Molinaros Italian Fest because of still all the COVID restrictions. They're not going to try to work around that. So instead, they're doing a golf tournament.
And their pizza and wings are really good.
They really are.
Yeah, they use the good cherry peppers.
You like those peppers?
Oh, those.
You have to ask for the cherry peppers because they have the hot peppers too. They have the regular banana peppers, but yeah, I asked for the hot cherry peppers.
Vinny, how'd you like those cherry peppers on there?
It was good.
What was your favorite part of the meal, though?
Say it.
Say it.
It was the wings.
Oh, okay. Oh,
okay.
Dipped in.
It was just the wings.
Wait. You guys got Molinaros again?
Yes.
Yes.
What the fuck? Again, we did.
Every week he feeds us.
Yeah, I'm telling you, stop taking the extra time at home to bang one out before you come to the show, and you'll get some pizza and wings.
He's doing a class one download so he can make more room.
Got to get the baby batter off the brain.
Right, so you can think clearly.
That is absolutely...
It's on her brain later.
You don't want to go out fully loaded.
That is absolutely not what a class one download is.
Oh,
damn
it! Like we have another cast member.
That's our friend Bo. I'm actually a dog sitting and cat sitting for the week.
Well, he looks pissed, like he wants to come chew my leg off.
He can't. Oh. He won't come downstairs. He's still he's a 90-pound puppy.
Come on now.
You know, so he's just under 2 years old, but he's not used to stairs, and he won't.
Does
come
he want
down
some
here.
Fireball?
Here goes Walden. If I holler at the dog in a redneck accent, he'll come downstairs.
Come on now, Bo.
I think realistically, we should just get him a piece of Molinaro's pizza, and he'll run down here.
He'll hear that.
Get him, Flash.
He'll hear that accent and think he's not much more dominant than me.
Come on, buddy. Come on.
Oh, man.
Get on out here. That's how we do shit in Houston. I ain't from Houston.
From Possum Trot. Get out of here.
You damn Skippy. And you know what? I went back the other day, and I did. I looked it up to see what my town's original name was, and it was actually, in fact, Possum Trot. So, and it was because all the damn possums that was going through there.
That's
and then
amazing.
They had a big ass flood, and then they moved the town up on the plateau.
Did the possums actually get a vote in that?
I don't think so. I think they probably just got
How
shot.
How else would they name the town after the possums?
Why didn't they call the new town New Possum Trot?
Or Dead Possum.
Drowned Possum Trot.
It could have been Dead Possum Trot,
or just
but
Possum Float.
They
or
named
just
it
Thump.
They named the town after the creek, which
so,
was
right. Is it a creek or a crick?
We have creeks where I'm from.
Okay.
A crick is something you get in your neck when you sleep wrong.
No, a crick is a body of water around here.
So
you're fucked up.
No, it's just the way it's
crick walking. We used to go crick walking.
Is there another town called Possum Trot in Texas, or were you from Shelby County? Because there's a Possum Trot in Shelby County,
there may
Texas.
Be an actual town that's called Possum Trot that's legit now.
Okay.
Okay, but Possum Trot, I want to say my hometown was renamed in like 1847 or 1860, something like that. Originally, it was Possum Trot. It's in Ellis County in Texas, and now the town is called Red Oak, Texas, and that's where I'm from.
All the displaced Possum Trotters went and formed a new Possum Trot.
Okay.
Called Red Oak.
Adopt a town. Here we go. Red Oak, Texas is on Interstate Highway 35, 20 miles south of Dallas in northern Ellis County. In 1844, James E. Patton and his family settled on Red Oak Creek, a few miles southeast of Billingsley Fort.
Also known as Bullock Creek.
The first post office came to the area in 1847 from Mitchell's Branch, 2 miles from the site of the future Red Oak. The settlement was originally called Possum Trot because of the abundance of possums in the area. It was renamed Red Oak after Ellis County was formed in 1849 for the creek. Before the Civil War, the principal crop of the local farmers was wheat. So, there we go.
Yeah.
And now you know.
Got to know something in the battle history.
The population grew to 4,301.
That was bigger than Red Oak when we moved there. When we moved there, I started second grade. There was like 2,000 people in the town.
Wow.
Yeah. It is very, very small. Now it's getting close to, I think, 15 or 20,000, some shit like that. Like,
wow.
It's getting pretty big.
Yeah, it was less than 2,000 people in 1980.
Mm-hmm. And we moved there in, what was it, like 86 or something like that?
In 1967, Red Oak was used as a site for 3 days of filming for the motion picture Bonnie and Clyde.
Yes, because Bonnie and Clyde are, in fact, actually from Ellis County. And my great-grandparents actually did shelter them before they went on their
A local woman, spree. Mrs. Mabel Cavett, made a brief appearance as Bonnie Parker's mother in the film.
I want to say they did Places in the Heart was filmed there in Ellis County, but that would have been in Waxahachie, Texas, which is my grandparents' hometown.
It's Walker, where, Texas Ranger?
You know what's long and hard on a guy from Red Oak?
That's what she said.
My tree?
The third grade.
Can we say that again?
Somebody get him some salve for that burn.
Well, I didn't get burned because I don't fucking get it. So
it's not better. It's not better. I agree.
Okay, what was the joke again?
What's long and hard on someone from Red Oak?
Third grade.
Third grade is.
Say it again.
It takes a long time and it's very difficult.
It's long and it's hard.
It's long and hard. Like you'd think they're talking about junk.
But they ain't no junk to be talking about.
You better
about.
React pretty soon because you're just digging yourself deeper by not reacting. It's just getting worse for you.
I'm perfectly fine where I'm at, so.
Moving on. What are our stories tonight?
I don't know where that came from, but you be prepared to tap that on command.
Okay.
There's a little mean streak running through you.
It's just, my water tastes funny.
Maybe it's all that grape juice you were drinking earlier.
The blood of Christ is running through me right now, ladies and gentlemen.
Ooh, now we need the body. So we got any Neckos?
I'm spent.
All right. You're spilling alcohol over there.
No, it's closed.
Men who wear Ralph Lauren polo shirts are more likely to cheat. And if they're popped, those collars, they're a douchebag too.
I was going to say.
Did you guys wear popped collar shirts though in high school at all or no?
Fuck.
No.
No.
What was that movie where they did that? Wasn't there a...
There was a reference where there was like a TV show or something where there was a guy who was wearing like four or five polos and each collar was fucking popped. So he had like five popped collars and it was like the more collars you have popped, the more pussy you're going to get.
Yeah, wasn't
and
we were that
like 16 Candles, they wear it on like that or something like in old movies like that.
No, I saw that. It was
wasn't
called
it Van
the
Wilder?
80s.
Yeah, you're right, the 80s.
Wasn't that part of the Van Wilder movie?
It might have been the Van Wilder movie. But the thing is, I think the psychology behind that is that you're more vain. So if you're wearing shirts with like big logos and you got to pop the collar, popping the collar is done to draw the attention
yeah.
to you, right?
So
and
it's
then,
like a peacock tail.
Like a peacock.
Yeah.
Get out of my head.
Get out of my head.
So you're strutting your shit like a peacock and then you got the big label and it's like a Ralph Lauren polo. Well, those things are not fucking cheap. You know, they're $60 to over $100, depending on, you know, which one you get. And the logos are fucking big.
I didn't
big.
Know how much
back
they
in our day, it was Garanimal.
That's right.
Garanimal.
It was more of an Oshkosh Bagosh guy.
Lacoste with the alligator?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Garanimals didn't come in husky.
I thought alligator was Izod.
No, it's Lacoste.
Oh, okay. I just remember
which
the gator.
Ridiculously
the little,
expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a pink Ralph Lauren polo is like $80 to $100, depending on where you buy it.
I saw
They're
a guy
insane.
At our daughter's dance recital, a father who is older than me wearing his Ralph Lauren, two of them. He's got both collars popped. I'm like, douchebag.
Did you kick the back of his seat through the whole thing?
He's bringing it back.
That's what I would have done. I would have sat behind and just kicked his seat.
He's bringing back the pop collar and the mutton chops.
Oh, for the love of Pete. But no, I think the psychology behind that is that the individual's more vain, trying to draw attention to themselves. And so those that are more vain are generally more apt to cheat because, like, look at this chick I just banged.
Total signs of insecurity as far as I'm concerned.
Right, they're also less interested in having long-term and committed romantic relationships and less attracted to women who want those long-term relationships. So, I mean, that pretty much tells you.
He didn't have the mutton chops, Alan, but he had the pastel shorts and the Don Johnson loafers with no socks.
Oh, so yeah, he was back in 88.
Yeah.
So
those shoes stunk.
He was rocking 1988.
If he had hair, it would have been feathered.
For my prom, everybody was getting tuxedos, and I actually rocked the Don Johnson. I had the linen suit with the pink shirt and the
sleeves
loafers.
You know what you should do the next time you see douchebag dad? You should throw a can of Aquanet at him, like right at his fucking face.
Aqua de Gijo.
No, Aquanet, the hairspray.
Oh.
Like, from the 80s, like, my grandmother fucking bought stock in Aquanet. She had so many fucking cans of that shit. That and Pert and Prel and
what
all
about
that other shit.
Jean-a-tay, ooh la la. Do you remember that stuff? My grandmother used to have that perfume back then, and you could buy it by the half a gallon.
She wore it by the half a gallon.
Yeah. I mean, it was just a big glass jar, and it was like $7. But it was just, I remember the commercials all the time.
It sounds like the box wine of perfume.
Yeah, that was it.
My daughter, the littlest one, she'll spritz her perfume in the air, but she does like 8 or 9 spritzes, then walks through it, and then like half an hour later, I'm going, why do you smell like an old lady?
Yeah. Is there a puddle on the floor?
Yeah, exactly.
I like to layer my cologne, so I'll do a little Dolce. And then throw in a little Mont Blanc, so then nobody can actually have my scent.
Layer hell, I damn near killed her.
I like to layer mine, too. A little Hagen and a little Dawes.
I'll tell you what, you dab it a little bit behind the air, and you're going to get you some healthy chicks.
Hey.
Hey.
Just lick it off, baby.
I also layer mine. So a little Jergens and a little Gherkin. Teenager's
Kleenex.
Computer chair.
A Belgian farmer has accidentally moved the French border.
Like, that's hard to do.
Right. They showed...
It's funny because an Austrian artist did that once, too.
Look, I'm going to redraw the map lines. There it is.
Sorry, wow. Was that too much?
It's too soon.
No one understands it.
Stop making jokes that our listeners can't understand.
Poop, pee, titties.
And you can't say too soon.
All right. A local history enthusiast was walking in the forest when he noticed the stone marking the boundary between the two countries had moved 7.5 feet. The Belgian farmer, apparently annoyed by the stone in his tractor's path, had it moved inside French territory. Instead of causing international uproar, the incident has been met with smiles on both sides of the border. He made Belgium bigger and France smaller.
Stupid farmer.
He moved the rock and he found a rubber grenade as well.
That was last week.
It would have been cooler if somebody had just said, you know, Jean-Claude Van Damme did like a jump spinning heel kick and kicked the fucking marker. Because he is from Belgium. You know, they use the muscles from Brussels.
Muscles from Brussels, yeah.
The border between France.
I hate Brussels sprouts.
I love Brussels sprouts.
They're baby cabbage, and they're delicious.
God. No, they're green.
You want me to give you some good butter so you can take with you on the way home so you can try real butter?
What is it with you forcing dairy on me, man?
I'm telling you, got to have the butter. You're not eating good butter.
He's giving you the dairy as you're leaving, not as you're coming in. Yeah. You notice that.
He got a week to dispose of that.
He knows I'm lactose intolerant.
Right. And then we're all intolerant of your lactose intolerance.
As well you should be. I am as well.
The dogs go,
COVID.
The border between France and what is now Belgium was formerly established under the Treaty of whatever the fuck it is.
He's like, something unfucking pronounceable.
Kortrijk,
yeah.
Historian.
Signed in 1820 after Napoleon's defeat at Waterloo 5 years earlier. The stone dates back to 1819 when the border was first marked out. I was happy my town was bigger, the Belgian mayor added with a laugh, but the mayor of the place in France didn't agree.
Bouginet-sur-Roc
immediately surrendered.
Take it. It's 7 feet.
Oh, no. It's a stone. You laugh. There was a
wee wee.
There was a headline late last week where England and France are fighting over fishing rights in the English Channel. I can hear the dog up there.
Bo! Come on now.
He's get him out of here.
He's never up this late. Come he's like, here. What the heck?
You know, you here now.
So anyway, they because of Brexit, the fishing rules have changed in the English Channel, and France is all pissed off because their fishing waters don't extend out as far as they used to by the way the Brexit thing worked out. And so to fight it, they sent out a half dozen fishing boats to fight the British Navy.
Y'all are pissing Bo off.
Yeah.
Bo, get his ass down now.
Oh, no.
He's going to sit on drums.
Do you put my jacket on so you have sleeves.
You should maybe just get a little food and he'll come down.
That reminds me, I think it's Iceland and Greenland that do this. There's an island up in the North Atlantic, and they each have the other's countries. So, like, Greenland will plant their flag on the island in the center, but they'll leave, like, a case of alcohol.
Yeah, and then every other year and stuff like that.
And then, like, a month later or something, Iceland will come, take the alcohol, plant their flag,
and leave their
alcohol and whatnot. So it's like this war that's been going on over this little island, but it's developed into like this friendship. So they just swap the flags out and give the other country alcohol and whatnot. And it's really kind of hilarious.
That's funny. I like that.
I think it's pretty cool.
Make love, not war. That's what I always say.
And kick France's stone back into their country.
Yeah.
It's 7.5 feet back in their country.
Take their papas fritas and set them. I'm just kidding.
He said, take it. Just take it.
Right now, Walden's trying
to get him a little piece of pizza.
Coax Helen's borrowed dog down the stairs.
Walden's having the same luck as he has with his wife.
Walden, if you get him a little piece of pizza, he'll be fine.
Not so successful with the coaxing there, eh?
Did you say who's a pretty boy?
He's a good boy.
I can't help but notice when I was walking up the stairs that he has testicles.
He is a fully intact 2-year-old. They decided not to go through and have him fixed at an early age because they said he's still got all the growth that he's got to go through. So they're going to wait until he's like 4 or 5 maybe before they do anything about that. But
then he's big enough to defend himself.
He'll say, you're not taking these. So what were you guys talking about? Freedom fries?
Freedom fries.
Yeah, I heard something about freedom fries.
We see London, we see France.
It was Belgian waffles.
Belgian waffles, yes.
Okay. History is written by the winners.
Yeah, Belgian waffles are acceptable.
He's talking to you, Walden, saying, carry me down the stairs.
Yeah. Yeah. We got Fireball, Bo!
Speaking of Fireball, did you know that Chernobyl alcohol drink seized by authorities?
I do now.
Well, let me tell you about that. The first bottles of an artisanal spirit made using apples grown near the Chernobyl nuclear power plant have been seized by the Ukrainian authorities.
You say artisanal? I say it artisanal.
Artisanal.
Hardest anal.
That's
what?
That'll probably induce more sales. But the Chernobyl Spirit Company said 1,500 bottles of atomic alcohol drink were confiscated on 19th March and taken to the Kiev prosecutor's office. Is that right?
Yeah.
Close enough. Close enough.
It's dated 19 March because this is BBC.
That is correct. It's the about the BBC. Officers took the shipment from a truck at a distillery in the Carpathians.
Carpathians?
Carpathian.
Oh, God, it's Vigo.
Yes.
He's suffering from Carpathian kitten loss.
In nomine Patri et Filii et Spiritus Sancti.
What? Exactly. Did you just call me an asshole?
He's invoking a demon. We should get out of his basement.
We're talking about the spirits.
Oh.
The spirit it produces, say, is Chernobyl's first consumer product since the 1986 nuclear disaster.
Holy fuck, that was in 86?
I know, yes, it was in 86.
There was a nuclear disaster?
It was actually in 1986.
What?
Have you guys not seen pictures of the elephant's foot?
No.
from Chernobyl?
Yes.
Like, it's the big radioactive thing. Like, if you were to get near it, like, you'd be dead in a couple of days.
The they call it the sarcophagus
literally
now.
Melted down.
Oh, they call it sarcophagus now?
Yeah.
Well, really? That's the encasement around it.
Right, and now they had to replace the original one, so what they did was built this thing on rails, and it went over the other one, so it was really cool.
Yeah. I just remember seeing pictures of what they called the elephant's foot. It was like the rods and stuff that melted down.
Yeah.
Because like, of all that. And it's so fucking heavy. Like, it's ridiculous.
It sunk through the floor. It sunk through, like, 16 feet of concrete.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
It's hard to do.
Not if you're Chernobyl.
That's right.
You guys seen Chernobyl. The television show, the miniseries on that?
Yes, it was phenomenal.
I have it on Blu-ray. I have not watched it.
What is the miniseries called?
Chernobyl.
It's a good name. Good name.
What's it about?
Lost love.
I mean, yeah, did they have anything like that in there, or was it just the facts?
Yeah, I mean, you open up, the opening of the series is on a couple. So he's a firefighter. And
that's right. Now that's a good story.
You know, Chernobyl.
Get me invested in it.
You know, you're 16, then, you know, Chernobyl, your 16-year-old has nothing on my meltdown.
That's right. Well, let's see what else is going on in Chernobyl with this. But let's see. After they took all the booze, they are now awaiting the outcome of an investigation by the Ukraine Secret Security Services, but say they have no idea why the shipment, which was destined for the UK, was seized. It seems that they are accusing us of using forged Ukraine excise stamps, explained Professor John Smith, who is a scientist that spent many years studying the exclusion zone before setting up the Chernobyl Spirit Company with Ukraine colleagues.
It makes me almost think that they're thinking that the alcohol may be radioactive.
Right, because they're using apples and stuff from
the exclusion zone.
Right.
So
if it were me, I would actually put some kind of a glow light in the bottom lamps when you lift it up and glows. I have a bottle like that up there. It's actually pretty cool.
Yeah. Tequila has a worm. You put a glow worm in there.
There
right?
You go. You can ride it afterwards.
Well, they're saying they have no idea why this shipment was seized, but then they're saying it was because we didn't pay the taxes. We didn't get the stamps.
Criminals.
So right. They know exactly why.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with radioactivity.
And you were right on the nose there. The studies have included growing experimental crops to find out if the grain and other foods grown in that zone could be used to make products are safe to consume. So part of the reason producing the spirits was so to demonstrate how land around the exclusion zone could be put back to productive use. And the research say this could also allow communities there to grow and sell produce, something that's currently illegal on official contaminated land.
Well, I know, like, if I'm taking a shot of whatever spirit that is, I don't want to have to hit it with a Geiger counter first.
Right.
You know?
I click when I walk through the border.
You know, it's like, hey, do I got to open the beta shield or do I got to keep the beta shield closed? What radiation type am I looking for here? So.
What was that noise?
That was my imitation of a Geiger counter.
All right. And that's about the story right there, you know? I mean, there's really nothing.
This drink will give you wings and a third eye.
That's right. Look into my big third eye. A la 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 la. That's about it. That's what's going on in Ukraine.
You're just stomping on my shtick.
A New Zealand man has been threatened with prosecution over penis pothole drawings. He's drawn about 100 penises around potholes in a bid to force his local council to fix them.
Didn't we already cover this at one point?
They did that in Lockport.
We did. We already knew Lockport was full of dicks.
But now they're painted on the street.
And, well, yeah.
Yeah, we've seen people do this before. But this is in New Zealand, so it's different.
The video shows two green and pink.
And he used green paint, which is different.
Green and pink.
The penises spin the opposite direction.
Well, they are Kiwis, right? Kiwis are green.
There you go.
So there we go.
And so are their penises around potholes.
So New Zealand has promised to take legal action against the phallic fuss maker.
Gives a whole new meaning to
the phallic
green weenie.
Fuss maker.
Phallic fuss maker.
They do have a photograph here, and that is a large pothole.
That's a large green weenie.
He received a call from the police last week following a complaint over his graffiti. They say that it poses a safety risk and a distraction to drivers, as well as being dangerous to carry out. He estimates he has drawn 100 penises to date. And once...
Wouldn't it be easier just to go on eHarmony?
And once mowed one in the field.
That's
next door.
I'm sorry.
In 2019, a place in the UK repaired potholes within a week of them being graphically branded. I've read 19 articles in the last year from this The Guardian.
When, you're on your last one, huh?
Yep.
No more Guardian for you.
So no more penises in the road for this guy in New Zealand. It doesn't say what the penalty would be, though.
They're probably going to give him like a bucket of Dawn and a scrub brush and make him get the paint up.
Rub the penis.
It just keeps getting bigger.
But if you look at it, yeah, he put testicles on this one. But if he didn't put the testicles on there, it might just be a large vagina.
That would make more
which
sense.
Would this, be fine.
Which there would be no penalties for.
Well, yeah. And just make sure you keep the scrub brush away from the coronal meatus.
Yes. Oh. You can't have anything inside the coronal meatus.
Except for
and
fucking
Bo agrees.
Tuna, because somebody said they liked tuna at one point.
Yeah, that
they would be okay
that,
with
that.
That
would be Matt.
I remember.
That was a Letterkenny reference. That was a Squirrely Dan joke.
That's Squirrely Dan.
Yeah.
It's hard to get tuna out of your pee hole.
Yeah, and then I think that's what started, you know, what do we call the dick hole? And I think that's what started the whole thing.
Like, you weren't already talking about it, though.
Oh, my God. Such a low blow.
That's what she said.
By the way, I did actually buy that game from last week.
I know, I saw it upstairs.
I went on Amazon and I did. I had so much fun last week doing the show that I actually bought the game.
I thought you just embezzled Craig's.
I was going to, but he made such a snafu about us messing his cards, I got scared.
You know what snafu stands for, right?
I do not.
Yeah. Situation normal, all fucked up.
I'm learning stuff all the time on this show. I did not even know that was a... Oh, my God, what do they call
those
things?
How about FUBAR? You know what FUBAR stands for?
I know that one.
Okay.
What do they call those things that they mean words?
Acronyms?
No, it's like scuba.
Anagrams.
Anagram, is that what it is?
Acronyms.
Acronyms. Self-contained underwater breathing apparatus, yeah. Like that sort of stuff. Acronyms.
Yes.
It's an acronym.
Not an acronym. An acronym.
Shiny balloons.
Don't Nicolage. No, Nicolage.
Taco cat.
Taco cat.
That is a...
that's
an
anagram.
A palindrome.
Palindrome,
yeah.
Why is that a palindrome?
Because...
Same word backwards and forwards.
Race car.
Race car. Taco cat. Hannah.
Mom,
yeah.
Dad.
Shorten it down.
Well, mom I get. I mean, Hannah, that's not the same thing.
H-A-N-N-A-H. Hannah.
Oh, that's not the spelling I know of
palindrome.
Hannah. Okay.
The second H is silent.
And sometimes not even written.
That's like in the Army, we have the green weenie, which is the Army, which comes to fuck you in the ass, which is what happens all the time.
Oh, wow. You're on a whole different subject.
Man.
Okay.
A lot of green weenies on this show tonight.
There are. And then we have another one, another acronym called BOHICA. Bend over, here it comes again.
Ah.
And you assume, when we say assume the position, because the green weenie is on its way, you just bend over and grab your ankles and... Yeah.
I know. In tech support, we have picnic. Problem in chair, not in computer.
Nice. We, you know, in the Army, we call that operator headspace and timing. So, because on the old 50 cals, you had to have the operator headspace and timing just right. Otherwise, you would get a failure to feed or something like that. Now, you don't have to. They're all already pretty much done. So, we just say operator headspace and timing, which means it's... You know, human error, not mechanical error.
It's an ID10T error.
That's the one I remember too. Error. The ID10T.
Yep. Go get me an ID10T form. Hey, first sergeant. Oh my God.
Write it down.
Go get the 45 holster for the lieutenant.
For those of you listening, please write down ID10T. ID the number 10 and T.
Do you ever do the?
Because Alan doesn't want to be the only one who fell for that.
The ST1s.
The what?
ST1s. Can you grab some ST1s? ST1s. O-N-E-S. Stones. I've never done one before.
No. We've done box of grid squares, get an exhaust sample.
Wall stretcher. We had the wall stretcher from Kenny's Shoes and Foot Locker.
Yeah, get the get blinker fluid.
Blinker fluid. Well, they actually sell blinker fluid now.
Welders make the new guys AutoZone catch the sparks.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Get a can of beep for the horn.
A can of beep for the horn.
Don't forget to deflate the tire so you get the fall and winter air out, and so we can put in the spring and summer air.
Yeah, get some chemotherapy for the cancer. It's all out there.
No, all you got to do is...
Shenanigans all over the place.
No, all you got to do is get that shit from Kiev called Atomic. You can drink that.
There you go. Drink that. It'll kill everything.
Get some chemotherapy for the...
Oh, I almost want to name that the title, but no.
No. I can do better.
I can do better.
He's on a streak with the names for the show, so.
Yeah. That's all right.
That's all.
Bring the funny.
So it's time for the Shenanigans job board. I hear you have a job for us on the job board, Rich.
Do I?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be our dream.
As much as I would like this, this wouldn't be for me. Unfortunately.
Number six.
Yeah, I couldn't.
Seis for our Spanish-speaking listeners.
Ses for our French-speaking.
And if you're a Latin speaker, sex.
Yeah. Well, you do this after the sex.
Not during.
Huh. Right, you don't want to get caught doing it during the sex.
What don't you want to do during sex?
Nap.
Speaking of napping. Sleeping on the job is one thing, but getting paid to do it? That's what each night a company focused on sleep health is offering. $1,500 for taking a nap every day for 30 days. Each night, which offers mattress reviews and sleep guides, is hiring a team of nap reviewers to, quote, test a few theories behind the pros and cons of napping. I keep losing my place.
We know that in general, different length naps have different benefits, but we're keen to put this to the test, and we need your help.
The catch is, the nap reviewers have to review their sleep time. Even though applicants may live anywhere in the world, they must have strong English skills for reviewing their naps and following instructions.
I prefer weak English skills.
I think that's more fun.
More fun.
I was hoping for the African guy.
Over the course of 30 days, dedicated nappers will be required to take part in a variety of experiments, testing out theories such as the best nap duration for feeling refreshed, the effects of napping on overall levels of fatigue, and the effects of napping on memory, motivation, and productivity.
Now, Alan, you wouldn't get the African guy because that's when they're taking naps, when they're asleep is when they get their penises stolen.
Right? Oh, that is true.
You don't want to get your penis stolen. So,
I thought that might have been at a full-fledged sleep.
And if I remember from the documentary correctly,
one fireball on this guy, and that's what happens.
No,
it was two.
He's got two over there.
Yeah,
yeah.
If I remember from the documentary correctly, they sleep on the ground with their head on their hand, propped up so that the bugs don't get in their ears.
Really?
Hmm. I've never seen the documentary correctly.
It was correctory.
And with the cotton in my ears, I've never heard that.
It's ridiculous.
Okay, 15 minute.
Okay.
Anyway, the application's on the company's website, which is eachnight.com.
And you must be at least 18 years old.
To take naps?
Yes.
I feel like kids...
I feel like that's probably about when you're supposed to stop taking naps.
No.
Are any of you guys nappers?
No, yes. Nap!
Yes. You're nappers or you're
right
a napper?
Here.
If I can get one every once in a while, I'll take a 10 to 30 minute power nap and then get on with the rest of my day.
And like 20 to 30 minutes is like the prime time. Once you get much longer than that, then it actually wipes you out more.
Right. Yeah, it actually does. So when you wake up from a 20 or 30 minute nap, you're like, oh, fuck my life. What did I do? But then like 5 minutes later, I'm
like woo-hoo!
Like, yeah. Let's do it.
So do you set an alarm if you plan on taking a nap?
Oh, absolutely.
You have to.
The ideal nap.
Because, my naps go 4 hours.
I have kids at home, so we're lucky to get 15 minutes for a nap.
Okay.
Your sleep cycle is 90 minutes, so the ideal nap should be 90 minutes.
I have read that is absolutely not true about the ideal nap time.
Yep. 20 to 30 minutes is what the literature is suggesting now is 20 to 30 minutes for a power nap.
Yep.
Get up and go on about your day. Anything longer than that, like Craig said, is going to wipe you out.
Maybe if you're an over-the-road trucker, an hour and a half is a good idea.
Right. Exactly. I get about 90 minutes to 2 hours after fun time. And then
wake up ready for more.
Like basketball?
Yeah. Exactly.
A lot of dribbling going on.
Well,
a lot of shooting.
Yeah.
Well, he did put his ball in the hoop.
That was him. That was me.
That was you? Oh. Oh, I thought it was his machine. You are just a lot of voices, a lot of
learned
songs.
A lot of things for Ferris Bueller. Well, that was Cameron, but
yeah. I liked Cameron.
This next article, a study discovered that men with large noses tend to have larger penises. They have, the picture that goes with it is an
aubergine.
I'm glad you said it. I was going to say eggplant, but somebody had jumped in there and correctly announced what it was.
What is it?
It's an aubergine.
I am 99.7% positive that Walden has had aubergine before.
That's just crazy.
Oh, I'm certain he has.
I wish there was 101 ways to make eggplant. Look at that.
And the thumb's about right. This week's episode of Visual Jokes for Podcast Day.
So your thumb and your fingers are much closer together than that?
Wrap around twice, yeah.
My thumb would go around it twice.
According to a new report,
you could be in the Fantastic Four.
And a half.
You could be in the Fantastic 5.15.
According to a new report, men with more prominent noses have longer penises. According to the researchers, men with more prominent noses have a stretched penile length of at least 5.15 inches.
Where the fuck is McMurray?
Does not say that.
It's 5.3.
No, he had to read that.
Oh. A few people anymore.
I got a little button nose,
yeah,
so
here
my
you are.
Mine is an innie.
My nose was in the pool.
It feels good inside you, doesn't it?
I love the winter.
He must be a grower, not a shower.
Men with smaller noses have a penis length of 4.1 inches when erect, according to the report. Wait a minute.
Tonto Kowalski, but my friends call me Skeeter.
What the fuck? It's another punchline.
Just a punchline. Keep going.
The research examined the bodies of 126 men within 3 days of death.
Maybe you should try them with a heartbeat and a little blood flow. Those numbers might change.
And a penthouse.
Yeah.
Flick it, nothing's happening.
No, it gets worse. Keep reading.
With the length of 4.1 inches. Those are rookie numbers. You got to pump
those numbers up.
Researchers took their height, weight, the length of their penis when flaccid, the diameter of their penis, and the weight of their testicles into consideration.
That word.
The weight of the testicles on a dead guy? How is that relevant to the length of the penis?
Oh, you poop and you pee when you die. You don't jizz. So...
On the night I almost got arrested from when Guido got married, we were out drinking and doing stuff, and then all of a sudden we come back to my parents' house at the time, and my cousin Sandy tells her sister-in-law Barb, they're weighing herself. She said, "Hold my boobs, I want to see how much I weigh without my boob weight." So Barb sat there, held her boobs in her hand so she can wear herself without her boobs. So then I look at my cousin Gary, and I said, "Gary, grab my balls." We were twisted. It was 3 a.m. Ever at a big wedding, and was like, "Shut up!" I couldn't stop laughing. I'm sorry, but go ahead, Craig. You got the good story now.
They said that. They said that laying the cadaver out and pulling the penis up as far as it would go gave them the stretched penile length.
So they're pulling. So just so I understand the mechanics of this, they're taking a
dead. They weren't mechanics. Listen, they're scientists.
They're taking a dead guy's dick, right?
Yep.
He's dead for 3 days. No blood flow, no nothing. Weight, height, all that shit. So they grab his junk and they pull and
they
stretch
it. They try to lift him up.
So they pull
it's called a deadlift.
There you go.
Oh,
there's.
I like that one for the show.
Yep.
And so they pull
it. Gary grab my balls. Go ahead.
And so they pull it as far as they fucking can without ripping the junk off.
Hopefully.
Because it's like 8 to 12 pounds of pressure will rip the junk off.
What?
If you got something to prove, I guess. You.
They call it science. I call it Friday night.
8 pounds.
I got to go.
Well, it's like 8 to 12
It's only
pounds.
Monday.
Do that in my sleep. That's why nobody will sleep with me.
They say that our findings are useless for forensic purposes. Understanding the development of the penis or facial features may be critical for extrapolating fetal androgen levels and monitoring male genital functions.
And to have something to do on Friday night.
And then they use a cucumber.
Monitoring male genital functions. Watch this.
He said, watch this. Well,
the acoustics when it snaps back are very different.
Don't say snaps. don't say snaps. We've done way too many articles on that.
You can do a 12-bar bass blues riff on that.
But the smaller nose is a much higher pitch.
That's right.
Only if it's made of ebony wood. I'm pretty certain white oak is a little too small for that.
A little too high pitchy. Get to the funny parts.
He's about to...
We're fucking making them.
It's got a couple good endings here. And it seems that the magic number to pleasing a woman at 44% is to have 8 inches.
So you have to do it twice.
Yes. I'm going to have to do that 2.5 times. But however, if you believe that bigger is better...
I better fold it in half.
The research shows you've discovered if you believe bigger is better, that decreased pleasure as love length increased ungodly proportions, with 11 inches only pleasing 30% of the women. That explains my shortcomings, because I do most of my heavy lifting at the urinal.
What are you carrying, a midget around an SP?
Little person.
Then we're going to get a bagel.
Little person with a little person slash tripod.
Moving on, you sick bastards.
Edit that whole part.
What part?
Everything we just did.
I don't think so. Cut it out.
Don't cut it out.
Number one shoes employee has been arrested over alleged covert sexual acts with co-worker's shoes for a fetish site.
So is this a Chinese shoe manufacturer?
That's what I'm wondering right now.
Number one shoe.
God.
In December.
I didn't name the company. I'm just asking a question.
You should see what he does in the number two shoes.
In December 2020, a profile identified as belonging to a number one shoes employee began posting images from his store to an online shoe fetish site. It started with a thread titled Workmates, Converse, and Work Locker, which now has 8,900 page views. I was at work yesterday, and I noticed my workmate had received a new pair of shoes for work. I work at a shoe store, and we have to wear the store's footwear, and came in wearing her Converse. On my big break, I managed to get her locker open and check out her shoes. He allegedly took her Converse into the work bathroom and photographed them, and also photographed her sitting in their break room. These images were uploaded to the thread along with a description of how her shoes smelled. Then, in January 2021, came a disturbing revelation. He allegedly photographed himself as he inserted his erect penis into his co-worker's shoes and ejaculated inside them.
How far in the shoe did it go?
Shoe fucker!
4.1 inches?
Well, to give the shoe the most...
No, he wasn't dead.
5 inches. He's not Japanese.
he did comment on the smell first, so
right.
Obviously, he has a
there's a science
nose.
Behind it for sure.
A few days later, a post on his profile revealed a second older coworker's shoes were being targeted. She wore Nikes into work and left them in her locker, so I thought they deserved a come. The post read, along with further images of his penis, semen in her shoes, and photos of her in the break room.
They're Nike Air Force Ones.
Air Force Ones.
Then came a second thread in January titled Candid Girls at My Workplace, which has been viewed over 13,000 times. The first
by six people.
Right.
They're all 34, have Cheeto dust on their fingers, and live in their mom's basement.
They have Cheeto dust on their toes. That's a thing.
I resemble that remark.
Bo, so get your ass down here.
Get on down here.
Come on down here.
The Pulse talked about how he's been coming in the female shop assistant's Converse sneakers wherever he can. A post on his profile said as he was walking home from work, he spotted a fit brunette ahead of him. He identified where she lived, waited until the quiet of the next morning to return to her house. There, he allegedly sniffed, spat into, and photographed shoes on her porch in broad daylight. 2 weeks later, another update on his co-worker's shoes with photos showing a fresh load of semen spread across the insole.
Ugh.
Another image showed her name and the name of the store.
Oddly enough, that with a magic eraser actually makes the shoe spotless.
How do you fucking acquire this knowledge?
It's just science.
Gets out all the grass stains.
After you're done yanking on the dead guy's dick.
He moved on to his shoes.
He's a spermatologist.
A spermatologist.
Conversely.
Oh, I get it.
Got it now. That took me a second.
I think we've heard enough.
He chucked in her tailors.
Now we've heard enough.
Those shoes can walk by themselves.
Suffice to say, this person is a dirty bird.
Yep.
They're never leaving. They're just always coming.
They're about to step into a sticky situation.
I like this guy.
Gives a different meaning to shoe goo. Oh. Now we've heard enough.
Yes.
Move on.
Speaking of goo.
For fuck's sake.
Our story of the week this week is the Converse splooge guy.
Michigan parents could pay up to $28,000 for destroying their son's porn collection.
Is this a check back in on this one?
This is in late 2020. So, but yeah, I think it is. Yes. In late 2020, federal judge ruled that a Michigan man would be able to receive compensation after suing his parents for destroying his extensive pornography collection. Now, the fight continues over exactly how much that collection was worth.
Did you say extensive or expensive?
Yes.
This is going to be expensive.
According to the Detroit News, he moved in with his parents in 2016 after splitting with his wife and brought with him around 2,000 adult entertainment DVDs and VHS tapes, as well as dozens of sex toys and paraphernalia. There was a rubber grenade involved. His parents had struggled over their son's history with pornography in the past and stipulated that it would not be allowed in their household if he were to live with them. After staying with his parents for 10 months, an argument broke out between the family, and he was asked to leave at the request of local law enforcement. When they dropped off his possessions several months later, he noticed his porn collection was missing and questioned his parents about the whereabouts. It was at that point that he told his son in an email exchange that they discovered the collection and disposed of it. Frankly, I did you a big favor.
Read it. I ruined it.
Deny, deny, deny. How do these people not understand these?
You can't just go around destroying people's stuff that you don't like or agree with. In 2019, he sued his parents in U.S. District Court in Kalamazoo for destruction of property, estimating the collection was worth nearly $29,000 and stating many items were irreplaceable. In December, the judge ruled in favor of this guy after investigation showed that none of his material was illegal in nature.
Can I just say the judge's name once?
Okay.
Maloney.
Right. Well, the rest of this article, they don't actually talk about why this is currently in the news, except for that mention at the beginning that they're talking about they're fighting over how much the amount the porn is valued at.
15 minutes.
Tops. Yeah, but you got Monday, and Tuesday, and then Wednesday.
And an ex-wife.
Probably a substantial therapist bill.
Yeah, you'd have to be.
So what's happening in Canada this week?
Cue the music. That's my part now.
Oh, make sure we edit out the "that's my part now"
part. No, I think we're okay.
It blends.
Oh, he's blended all right. Canada Watch.
Your listening pleasures, Canada Watch.
Smell like pine trees in moose piss.
Canada Watch. Your furry hat matches your furry underpants. It's a design flaw, or you need a trim?
Canada Watch.
Do you smell like beaver dams and old toes?
Canada Watch.
Your uncle looks suspiciously like an elk.
Canada Watch.
Sure does get lonely up there in the Yukon.
Canada Watch. We have the polar bears and the milk in the bag, y'all. Canada Watch.
Hey, Gord. We still like you, though.
Canada Watch.
All right, enough joking around. Go ahead and play the music.
It's already done. You talked right over it again.
I didn't say a word.
You were laughing.
No.
Hold on. Alan, think of some funny things to say about Canada quick.
Do it.
Mark, action.
Canada. Oh, Canada.
You sounded like Paul Bearer.
I don't know. Canada funny.
Canada funny. Maybe next time.
Next time I'll be a little bit more prepared for my spontaneity. There.
Look at the big pile of booze bottles in front of them. That guy's been drinking all night.
They're just mini bottles.
The city of Abbotsford is investigating after residents witnessed large pillows of foam floating in a local creek. Creek. After a few days.
Dick.
A few days after laundry powder was spread on the rooftops of a nearby townhouse complex. A man who lived at the complex on the side of Sumas Mountain for 5 years said he's concerned the foam will harm wildlife in and around the Claiborne Creek.
What's the name of the mountain?
Dumbass Mountain.
Sumas.
Get you Sumas.
Get you Sumas.
It's pronounced Suma.
Suma? Suma. The side of the Suma Mountain.
Gah. I should be holding my pinky in the air when I fucking say that.
I only know that because I watched Shawshank Redemption from the author Dumas.
Alexander Dumbass. Alexander
Dumbass. That's actually, you'd like that. It's about a prison break.
I was quite shocked and concerned, he said. Literally, there were piles of foam 8 feet high in some areas.
Literally.
Literally.
Taller than a shit fence.
Officials with the province's Ministry of Environment and Funny Walks said that they, along with the city of Abbotsford...
Everything that's a ministry also is funny, silly walks.
It has to be. Along with the city of Abbotsford and Environment Canada, are monitoring the situation, but confirmed the substance causing all the foam is Tide powdered detergent. Using laundry detergent to deter moss from growing on roofs is...
No.
A. Using laundry detergent to deter moss from growing on roofs is a remedy easily found through an online search. That doesn't mean it's a good fucking idea. It also comes with warnings that the technique can be dangerous, damage roofs, and
kill wildlife,
the environment,
and sorry.
Canada geese. Health Canada, right?
You got a problem with Canadian gooses, you got a problem with me. I think you should let that marinate.
Fuck gooses.
Let the goose marinate?
Yeah.
Marinate a goose. Health Canada regulates pesticides in Canada. Tide laundry detergent does not specify on its label that it can be used as a herbicide. Detergents contain surfactants and bleaches to break up stains that otherwise wouldn't dissolve in water, according to ingredient listings. Environment and Climate Change Canada said in a statement that it takes pollution incidents and threats to the environment very seriously. The federal department says it has opened a file on the creek foam in Abbotsford and is responsible for enforcing provisions against pollution in the Federal Fisheries Act, which prohibits the deposit of harmful substances into the water by frequent fishing and by Bobby Brady. I'll let you think about that.
You're going to have to.
There was an episode of the Brady Bunch where Bobby put an entire box of detergent in the washer because he's trying to help Alice with the laundry, and the washing machine just blew up with bubbles.
I like how they had to make the statement that they take threats to the environment very seriously.
A.
I'm sure they probably had a really good fucking laugh and was like, hey, we got to get serious. And then put out that statement.
All right, seriously this
time. All right, seriously. All right. You know, some dumbass put Tide on their roof. And there's a big ass wall of foam floating down the fucking river. I would laugh if I saw it.
That's natural art. So now they can't get convicted of it. They're creating something beautiful.
And all the Gen Zers in the neighborhood were sitting there waving glow sticks.
Yeah.
In that crook.
Fucking pacifiers.
Fucking D-gens.
I was trying to think of that and I couldn't. Like, what are they called?
Fucking D-gens from out country.
D-gens are the worst.
After the phone was reported, the city of Abbotsford sent crews to inspect the creek. The city's bylaw department is also investigating, but said they... but has not said whether there will be any penalties to the contractor or Strata for use of the detergent. Ultimately, I just want people to be aware that there are better, more environmentally friendly options for things like moss control.
Fire.
Fire's good. And you'll get the spider.
A little bleach solution, like 5% bleach in a gallon of water. That does good wonders.
Bleach isn't good for the environment either, though.
Labatt Blue would probably be good.
Yeah, it wouldn't actually drain off. I mean, it would just get into the wood, go into the asphalt, or what do you call it, the shingles themselves, and just stay there. And you're not pouring it off into rainwater.
I hate it when I get shingles on my asphalt.
Oh, that's the worst.
It's the itchiest.
But at least we know how Canada cleans the rivers now.
That's right.
Anyway, that's what's happening in Canada this week.
Do you have a website for us?
I think so. Of course I have a website. Come on, boy! Come on!
So excited that Bo got to make a debut appearance here on Shenanigans.
You can definitely hear him.
Good. Woo-woo. So while you're looking for a website, the first night that I got him here, because they let him sleep on the bed, he's a 90-pound dog. And I've got the two bedrooms. I got him in one bedroom, so where the full-size bed is. So he
jumps
on.
Did you take the throw pillows out?
Well, they're back on the patio now because they were all patio stuff, even though they make fun of me because I have these. But I said, come on, get down, because he's got a bed right next door to my bed. And I said, that's all. He wouldn't sleep on his own bed. So finally, I put him in the cage overnight, let him sleep there.
Did he cry the whole night?
No, he didn't. He slept there. But then the next night, he jumped on the bed, and I said, get down. So he up and down, and I said, come on, time to go back in the cage.
That's the most your bed's rocked in a long time.
So you're telling me I should be excited about it. Only this thing that's trying to get next to me is less furry than what I've been with.
That's what she said?
Yeah.
Also requires more peanut butter.
Yeah. Loving you.
It's Skippy time.
Oh, no.
Come on, guys. I got a full night of plan here. Let's get the website. We're not all doing our masters, guy.
Yeah. Now the website is jif.com.
Not just for sandwiches anymore.
No, it's not. This week's website is for Craig. You're going to love this. And I sincerely believe you will love this.
Is this as cool as the fishing one?
It's cooler.
Okay.
For you. No one else is going to like this.
Okay.
Officemuseum.com.
What the fuck is this?
He loves it already.
The name of the website is pretty self-explanatory.
Some old pictures on here.
Yes.
Ooh, they show pencil sharpeners and staplers in motion to enable you to see how they work.
For more than 15 years, one person has been entirely responsible for the early Office Museum website. This person has spent countless hours and dollars to create a website that is educational and useful to collectors. Every day, we answer questions about early offices and antique office machines from collectors, movie producers, exhibitors, and museums around the world.
Where's that base in Scranton?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's on the internet, so it could be anywhere. Really.
Walla Walla, Washington.
Seems like the Office Museum might be in Scranton. Just saying. This virtual museum was founded in 2000. Since then, the curator has expanded and updated the website's content continuously and is doing so in 2016. The museum is a website only, does not have a collection of office items or a building. We are delighted to be included in the Collectors Weekly Hall of Fame for best collectors on the sites on the web.
Yeah. I believe this museum has my stapler.
They were nominated the sexiest antique website.
Say what? For real?
of 1918.
Right. Because that's the internet was there.
Yeah. How did you Xerox your ass in the olden days?
You had to call Abraham Lincoln.
They had the mimeograph machine, and your ass was purple afterwards.
It was purple before. See what I did there?
This kind of reminds me of like just a picture. It would be like, you know, live long and prosper, Abraham Lincoln, 1847. You know?
I love those.
With the picture of Prince.
Yes.
Yeah.
Isn't there an antique typewriter behind you there, Vincenzo?
There is.
I think there is.
There is.
Same. Flip it over and see if there's a model number. I'll look it up on the website.
We can do that, shouldn't we?
You could find out that it's worth a bazillion dollars.
Oh, my God. I'd settle for half that in cash.
Oh.
No, I mean, the value is roughly equivalent to paying for a bazillion.
Oh.
Wax or?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, okay.
What's that, like $50, I guess?
I have no idea because I don't ever want to get one of those.
Officemuseum.com. I'm going to check this out. I want to see staplers in action and how pencil sharpeners used to work.
You have to pronounce it Deepler.
Okay.
Deepler.
Deepler. You keep it. I'm going to burn down the office museum. You leave it. I did not redeem my paycheck.
I have seen that entire movie, but never from start to end. I've always caught it in various places.
You got to watch the whole damn thing.
It's got to be distracting when you pause all the Jennifer Aniston scenes.
Jennifer Aniston's in it?
Yes.
You have not seen the whole movie.
I have not seen the whole movie.
Just remember.
Have you seen the movie The Good Girl with her? Where she has the affair with the kid at the grocery store where she works?
Nope.
Just when you watch Office Space, remember she has 15 pieces of flair.
Okay. Right.
No more, no less.
No right. more, no less.
And she doesn't really want to express herself.
But at one point, she does express herself. It is quite,
she does, yes.
Quite hilarious.
All right. So the website of the week was officemuseum.com. Check it out. Unless, you know.
If you dare.
If you're having trouble getting to sleep, it's officemuseum.com.
I feel like we're trying to upsell this like a Ginny Screamer.
There's some up in the
fridge,
man.
If you're having trouble sleeping, call Craig and he'll read the website to you.
No, I won't.
Or you can just listen to Shenanigans.
Sorry, we don't put people to sleep.
I know, it's funny. It's really probably the greatest podcast out there.
We get chicks wet. That's what we do.
What would
we
do?
Also have a very high water bill.
We have super soakers.
What would you do if you had $1 billion, man? I think I'd do two chicks at the same time.
That's a more office space.
Two chicks, man.
What would happen if you're at your job if someone said you had a case of the Mondays? I believe you get your ass kicked for saying something like that.
All right, now I'm going to have to watch the whole movie.
It's fucking great.
I have it on my phone if you want to watch it now.
I'm good. So don't forget to check out Molinaro's Restaurant. And for Shenanigans, it's been Rich, Vinny, Walden, Alan, I'm Craig. Thanks for listening. Join us again next week.
Bye!